Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Several years ago, I was driving with my two kids. We were on a road trip up to Penticton to visit one of my brothers who lives in Penticton. And I was on my own because my husband was working, and my kids were quite a bit younger. And I knew that it would be a long trip for them, but I knew that they could do it. And they were well motivated to see their cousins that lived up in the Okanagan. And so we piled in the car, and I had made the decision, because it was summer, that I was going to go the Coquihalla route, because it had been a while since I'd gone that way, but I knew that it was fast when it's clear, and I knew that it would be clear because it was summer. And so when I don't know if you've driven this route before, but when you hit Hope, there's a decision point. You have to decide if you're going to Hope Princeton or if you're going to go the Coquihalla. And so I was paying close attention, and I was reading the signs to make sure that I got in the right lane, which I did. And just as I was making that final switch, there was a big, like, temporary kind of construction sign with, you know, lights flashing on it. Something was being said there, and it said something about Route 97 closed due to fire, big forest fire. And I saw it, but I wasn't too worried. It was kind of behind me, and I knew that I was only on the Coquihalla until we got to Merritt, and then I was going to take the connector. And so I was just totally fine with this. So we head a little further. We get kind of halfway on our route to on the Coquihalla, and we're driving along, and another one of these signs appears. Route 97, closed due to fire. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a must be really big fire. And didn't know, you know, what part of BC it was in, but BC was having a difficult year with the forest fires, and so I actually remember praying for the areas affected by this fire, for the people that were fighting it, and so we get to Merritt, we turn off at Merritt, onto the connector, and I'm doing just fine, get kind of where my GPS is now saying, you know, you're about 30 minutes from Penticton. I'm like, yes, this is good, the kids are going crazy in the back, and I'm just like, hang in there, kids, we're almost there, you know, get 5 hours of driving behind you, and you're getting close. And another one of these big temporary signs. I'm thinking, wow, I have no idea where this fire is, but it is big, clearly, because they're letting me know. And some of you are catching on faster than I did. But as I see on my GPS, and I'm now 20 minutes away from Penticton, I'm getting very excited. And that's when I saw it ahead. The traffic had come to a complete stop. And in fact, the only movement we were getting on the road now was because people in the road were turning around and heading back towards where they were coming. And I thought to myself, well, I'm stopped anyways. Might as well check where this Route 97 is. So I pull out my map and take a good look. And yeah, some of you know, the Okanagan Connector is Route 97. But I'd never heard it referred to that way before. And so here we were, and we're 20 minutes away from Penticton, and now we have a 3-hour drive ahead of us to head back and make the loop around the other direction. Not my finest road trip hour, and I'm not going to lie, the kids and I had a little scream-a-thon in the back of the car for a few minutes before we started again. And it was, yeah, it was it's in my memory. I don't know how memorable it was. here's the kicker. I knew exactly where I was going. I'd been there before. I followed all the laws. I read every sign. I just wasn't paying attention. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful that you are a God who calls to your people. You invite us to pay attention. And that invitation is not one so much that we have to be diligent, so much as it's that you actually desire us to pay attention, to be in relationship with you. So God, this morning as we explore what that means and take a look at how we can do that better, my prayer is, Father, that you would just meet each of us where we are and talk with us about what it looks like in our lives to pay attention to you. Where is it that you want to speak with us today? We are welcome. We are welcoming your Spirit's work in our lives. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, we have recently begun a series around here on how we could become those who expect transformation. And Pastor Rob has encouraged us to think about the way that we're invited to move from trying to live Christ-centered lives and to instead fully embrace what it means to be training for Christ-centered living. And last week we heard that in part, we need to train ourselves to let go of the past in order that we may press on towards what we're called to in Christ Jesus. Today I want to suggest another way that we can train for Christ-centered living. Pay attention. And I don't mean just pay attention to what I have to say, although I am wearing my pay attention shirt. This is the shirt that, because you were wearing your Bob the Builder shirt, right, the other day? So this is my pay attention shirt, yeah. Pay attention is actually the practice that we're invited to fold into our lives as we seek to live centered on Christ. My trip to Penticton that fateful summer, it serves, I think, as a good allegory. I knew my destination, I was familiar with the way, I was reading the signs, I was observing the laws, still my way was impeded. Because while I saw warning signs clearly, I had failed to pay proper attention. And as followers of Jesus, I think we can have the similar experiences, right? We can do all the right things, fall into patterns of seeing all the right people. We can practice faithfully our familiar expressions of faith, read scripture, come to worship, listen to our preachers and teachers, still without expecting transformation or training for transformation. It's easy for us to become familiar with God without paying attention to God. The verses we heard from the prophet Isaiah this morning, they demonstrate what it looks like to be people who seek God and seek his righteousness. The righteous, it turns out, pay attention. Those who are transformed from spiritual deserts into these abundant and beautifully shaped gardens, they are the same who have not only listened to the scriptures, but they are actually the same who have developed this discipline of paying attention and listening to God. The prophet describes the people who have paid attention to the power of God, demonstrated in God's faithfulness to Abraham and Sarah, and the miraculous provision to them of generations upon generations of life. That's power. The same passage describes the righteous as those who pay attention to the transformative work of God. We're invited in this passage to see the ways God will bring joy where there was once only ruin. Life from barren places, order to places of chaos, and light and justice to a darkened world. Could you use some of that? Most significantly, the righteous are those who pay attention to God. Not just his gifts, not just his displayed powers, not just the things that God can do for us. God actually invites our attention to be fixed on him. Pay attention to me, it says. Listen to me. These are personal invitations to connect with the Almighty. Pay attention. Pay attention to God's power, to God's transformative work. Pay attention to God. Now, you're all here in church, so I'm kind of thinking that maybe we can all agree that it's a good thing to pay attention to God. You've set aside some time this morning to do that. So that should cover it, right? I just said pay attention to God, go and do that. You're all set, right? You know how to do that now? Maybe not so much. Well, if you're anything like me, you might realize that while adjusting our desire to pay attention to God can be done with an endorsing nod, the true challenge is adjusting our lives in order that we might train to pay attention to God. How do we adapt a habit, as it were, of paying attention to God? It's not something that we easily do. And if you don't do it already, how can you actually train to be more fixed on Jesus? Our culture in many ways revolves around a competition for attentions. We hear it actually in the pleads of like young toddlers who stand in the center of adults and say, look at me, look at me. And they don't stop saying, look at me, until someone looks their way and gives them some attention. But we also, of course, see it in our media feeds, our radios, in well-timed marketing campaigns. There's nothing new about this competition for our attention, but I do wonder if the saturation of our endless pleas for attention has somewhat intensified lately. It feels like it has. So what then does it mean to respond to the scripture's invitation of paying attention to God? I have this feeling that the answer will involve some rearranging of our lives in order to make paying attention to God come more naturally. And my guess is that it actually might be harder to rearrange our lives than it will be to find God. I actually think that work in our hearts and our lives and our practices might be more challenging. I've been spending some time this month with an experiment. It's January, right? Everyone, did people make resolutions in January? Yeah, so I made a few. And mine were quite intentional this year. I was trying to launch a bit of an experiment to see if I could create more space in my life for me to hear God, to adjust the pace of my days so that I might respond and keep in step with God, and to change the volume of some of the distractions I find that I might encounter God himself. And I've actually been a part of a group of people who are doing this. Everyone's chosen different things as their experiment, but we're part of a group. Lots of support there. And we've been making all these adjustments in order that God might make the final adjustments in our lives. It has not been easy. In fact, it's been actually really enlightening for me how uneasy it has been. I want to share with you some of the things that we've committed to do. It was a 30-day experiment, so just for January. 30-day experiment. 30 days of no screen-based entertainment. No lying to ourselves or to others. No criticizing ourselves or others. No productivity on a Sabbath day. Spend time outdoors every day. Read a chapter in the Gospel of Matthew every day. And pay attention. That's been our experiment. And as I've talked with others about this experiment, everyone seems to pick up on what they think would be most challenging for them on that list. Can you think of what it would be for you? Yeah? Yeah, most of you go to Netflix pretty quickly. But anyways, here's the thing. I actually think the most challenging practice on that list has been to pay attention. And I've really been reflecting on this because I have been paying attention. But what does it look like to pay attention? You see, I can give myself a check mark when I read that chapter in Matthew, and I know I've got that done. And I can easily identify what it looks like to have entertainment on a screen versus work on a screen. And I tell you, no matter how hard I work to justify it, Grey's Anatomy's reruns on Netflix is not work-related, it turns out. It's hard for me. Time outdoors is easy to assess. You're either in or you're out. And because I can't lie for this month, I have to tell you, there's been 3 days so far where spending time outdoors has been standing on my front walk, looking up intentionally at the sky, because the only outdoor time I got was from the walk from my front door to my car and back again. I am a work in progress. I fully confess that. Lying and criticizing, these are a bit tricky, but by far the most difficult is to pay attention. Paying attention requires a will to do so, but also it invites brutal, honest reflection. Paying attention means going through life living with a focus that we're typically pretty unfamiliar with. Still, you and I, we both heard the invitation from the scriptures. Pay attention to me. It's actually one of the mechanisms God is ordaining to bring about his transformation. So what are we? Hopelessly overstimulated, hyper-scheduled, never quiet city folks supposed to do? I believe the answer is that we must train. We can't simply decide to pay attention to God. We need to be honest enough to know that we're going to have to train to be successful in this endeavor. And I am by no means an expert on this. I want to be really clear. I might be a few steps ahead of some of you, but I know I am miles behind others when it comes to paying attention. Still, during this experiment, I have come to adopt 3 training steps that I think could be helpful for us as we seek and expect transformation. So here's my 3 training steps, and if you've got bulletins with you, I actually put an insert in there with them because I hope that you might take them home and put them on your fridge and reflect on them. They're there in a color sheet. You'll see like an intersection on the top of it there. Step 1, Acknowledge that no matter how distracted you feel, you are in fact always paying attention to something. The 20th century Spanish philosopher José Ortega y Gasset said, "Tell me to what you pay attention and I will tell you who you are." Those words feel pretty challenging to me, but I think they're true. We're all paying attention to something. The challenge before us isn't really that we have a poor ability to pay attention, it's that we tend to sometimes pay attention to weird and distracting things. The latest research on attention actually indicates that the theories that were floating around at the end of the 20th century got it all wrong. People's attention spans are not getting shorter. Think about this with me. The most well-attended blockbuster movies of the years in the last few years are the longest movies ever made. The format that's most listened to by millennials on podcasts, 90 minutes. That's a long podcast. Most podcasts run kind of like around 15, 20 minutes, but the most listened to are 90 minutes. And the word count for the Harry Potter series of books is 1,084,170 words, a full 35% longer than the King James Bible. You cannot tell me that a generation that currently spends hours watching other people play video games on YouTube has a short attention span.
That's a good word.
People's attention spans are not getting shorter, they're just getting harder to attract. The first step in paying attention to God is to acknowledge that we are not too distracted to pay attention. We're just simply not aware of the things that have currently garnered our attention. You're not distracted by Netflix. When you watch it, you're giving it your attention. You're not distracted by emails. When you respond to the notifications, you're giving them your attention. You're not distracted by your children, no matter how young or old they are. When you engage with them, you're giving them your attention. And clearly, I'm not saying don't. These are all good things in order. The issue I'm trying to get us to illuminate here is that it's not an issue of focus. It's that we rarely act as good stewards of our attentions. We don't acknowledge that we're a part of giving our attentions to things. The Apostle Paul was aware of these wandering attentions of the early church in Corinth, and he gave them this encouragement, and I love these words. "Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand." Acknowledge that no matter how distracted you feel, you are in fact always giving your attention to something. This is the beginning step of our training. Step two, embrace the weird. Embrace the weird. Now hang in with me for a few minutes here. I just want to tell you about this weird guy that we encounter, one of my favorite weird characters in the scriptures. He ate bugs. He wore uncomfortable clothing. He lived on the margins of society. He let his passion for God lead him to some really unusual practices. And here's the thing. He was given the honor of being the first person we know in the New Testament times to point out that God had arrived in the world. He saw God. John the Baptist, he was by all accounts weird. Still, he had his attention fully devoted to God's arrival in the world as Savior. If we want to respond to the prophet Isaiah's invitation to be transformed as we pay attention to God, we will perhaps need to embrace some of the weirdness of John. Yeah, I know, it's a weird step, but let's listen to some of it. John regularly withdrew to wild places. Now, we do have some wild places nearby, but at the very least, this means we can get outdoors. Spending time in nature is actually a spiritual practice. Have you ever thought of it that way? When you go for your walks or your hikes or your bike rides? When you walk to the beach? Spending time in nature allowed John to direct his attention to the God of creation. Think about the surroundings that you spend your time in every day. Are you spending more time around the man-made or around the creator-made? One of our practices could be to alter that ratio. John withdrew from popular voices, and he practiced regular times of solitude. Now, John was obviously well-schooled. He knew the scriptures inside out. He knew the prophets well. And if he'd wanted to, he surely would have found good favor among the religious leaders of his day. Yet, strangely, he actually chose to withdraw. He withdrew from any of those sources that could have puffed up his ego. You know, we talk about self-esteem all the time, right? John could have had his self-esteem overflowing. But instead, he withdraws to quiet places to hear the quiet voice, the still voice of the only one who could actually lift him up. How about you? Are you surrounded mostly by popular, the crowdsourced influencers? Or are you listening for the still, quiet voice of one who calls you into times of solitude? John lived a simple, somewhat ascetic life, and even in his day, his choices would have been seen as weird. Totally weird. And I'm not suggesting that we all go sell our homes and our cars and our clothing and head out to Goldstream Park to hang out there for a while. That's not what I'm suggesting. Although I do wonder if we did that, my guess is it might be easier to pay attention to God. What I am inviting us is to embrace the weird while still embracing the community we're part of. And short of selling your belongings, perhaps consider adopting a practice of intentional simplicity. How about this one? Chosen inefficiency. Have you ever been in a grocery store? Do you try and get in the shortest line? Do you switch to find the shortest line? Chosen inefficiency is looking for the slowest teller with the longest line and getting there. How about practicing radical generosity? Which is easier when we're practicing simplicity. Unparalleled hospitality. There's no doubt that all of those practices would endear you to our culture as weird, but nonetheless, they would tune your heart to the frequency of the divine. It is weird to wake up an hour early to spend an hour in contemplative prayer. It is weird to resist your next purchase so that you may instead give generously to someone else. It is weird to take a day off each week to be completely unproductive. It is weird to touch dirt, smell pine needles, stick your toes in the sand, even in January on the island. It is weird to prefer a quiet, well done, good and faithful servant over the public acclaim offered by a crowd of adoring fans. It is weird to make your home a sanctuary for whoever needs to be there. Still, let's embrace the weird for the sake of our training. Weird is often the gateway to seeing God. John was weird. John saw God. We read about it in the fourth gospel. It says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Embrace the word as you train to pay attention to God. Okay, finally, step three. Expect God to intersect with your life. I was thinking about this week. I was out, sometimes when I take Chase to piano lessons, sometimes I get an opportunity to go for a walk. And because it's at night and I'm by myself, I often drive to a Starbucks that's close to the Gordon Head Rec Center, and then I head out and I walk around. There's a newly constructed trail out there, an accessibility trail. It's beautiful, wide, and I can just do these gentle loops around and around and around. And I can keep going, and I don't have to think very much. I just kind of get on this path, and I keep going. It's nice and smooth, and I won't trip on anything, and even if it's dark, it's all easy. And I was thinking about this week because I'm out walking and I'm getting my rhythm and I'm not really thinking about anything when all of a sudden I was like, oh, whoa, I'm like at an intersection, because it does occasionally cross with some traffic at the rec center. And I was totally caught off guard. You can get into trouble pretty quickly if you're not paying attention. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, wow, we live our lives like this, don't we? Where we sort of get into this rhythm, this comfortable autopilot. And if you're not careful, you can get into this dangerous situation pretty quickly. The psalmist described it this way. He says, yes, people wander around like shadows. Yes, they hustle and bustle, but pointlessly. As long as you don't deviate from the well-trodden pathways, there's very little to jolt us out of our wandering rhythms. But you have to pay attention at the intersections. We learned that since we were little children, right? Look both ways. Pay attention. The mistake many of us are making is that we're living our lives as though it is a gentle path, that it is always comfortable and predictable. And I challenge you to think about this, because if your life right now isn't feeling comfortable and predictable, don't you wish it was? So many people pursue that kind of life because we believe that that's what we were made for. And I want to say to you, I actually think that's a lie. It's a lie. From the beginning of all creation, God has been actively pursuing his beloved, you and I. And he's been actively and relentlessly loving after us and intersecting his story with ours. And when Jesus announced that the kingdom of God is here, he was actually announcing that forever, the kingdom of God is intersecting with humanity. Our lives are not characterized by these gentle and meandering pathways. Our lives, life is found at the intersection of God and you and me. Pay attention, because you're always at an intersection, forever. When Jesus came, it changed it forever. You gotta pay attention at intersections. And so as we train to pay attention to God, we'll need to expect God's intersection work in our lives. God is not a distant and uninvolved deity. Our triune God is one we should expect to encounter as being continually active in our lives and in the world. Do you expect God to intersect with your life? Do you expect him to intersect with your life on Monday morning as much as you do on Sunday morning? The life centered on Christ, the life empowered by his Spirit, it will be characterized by the intersection of his activity in our lives and the lives of those around us. And I love how it's declared in Ephesians, and I know Pastor Rob loves this because he reads it all the time. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Paying attention to this act of God will require our willingness to train in new ways. Acknowledge, you're always paying attention to something. Notice that. The early faith fathers, they had a practice, and it was that they would meditate on the word, the name of Jesus. And when they were meditating, they were not successful. They would constantly wander in their thoughts. And so one of them came to their spiritual director one day and says, I'm giving up on this practice of meditating on Jesus. I can't do it. I'm not successful. Give me something else to do. And he said, oh no, you're doing it right. Every time you find your thoughts wandering is an opportunity to turn back to Jesus. He's like, I wander 1,000 times. Great, 1,000 times to turn back to Jesus. You're doing it right. Pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Notice that. Embrace it as an opportunity to turn back to Jesus. Embrace the weird yet wonder-filled practices that tune our hearts to recognize Jesus. Time in nature, solitude, simplicity, Sabbath, radical generosity. And expect God. Expect him to be actively intersecting with our lives. He's always pursuing us. Respond to the personal invitation of our Creator and expect his transforming promises to be fulfilled. Pay attention to me, he says. Pay attention to me, my people. Listen to me, my nation. For my teaching will go out from me, and my justice as a light to the nations. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you this morning that you are a God who has intersected with our lives and the lives of those around us. And we confess that we're not going to be good at this. But I pray that you'll meet each of us wherever we are. Help us with whatever step we take. And God, if there's some who, for them, that's the first step is just even to acknowledge the possibility of God, we pray that you would make today a day where they can step towards you. Father, help us to pay attention that we might be made more like you and that we might connect with you. Thank you that you are a God who doesn't just have a reciprocal relationship in mind, but you abundantly pour out into our lives. Make us aware of that. Open our eyes to that. Continue to work in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.